Mr. Trace.
May it please the court, Richard Trace, on behalf of the petitioner, Raduca Simkian, in the council. This is a petition involving two major issues regarding adjustment of status applications and a denial of the petitioner's motion to continue the matter or to reopen the matter, and the other relating to the petitioner's original asylum claim and whether or not there were changed country conditions which should have warranted a reopening before the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Mr. Trust, did Mr. Simkian offer any exceptional circumstances that prevented him from attending the hearing in front of the IJ in September of 99?
The only circumstances were that he didn't know about it in time. That it came out, I think, through his wife and his attorney, that the attorney informed him maybe a day before the hearing that he was somewhere driving his truck across country and didn't have time to come back and appear. He didn't know about it. I think that is the allegation.
But isn't there an adverse finding of fact for you on that point? I mean, that's what he said, but the attorney, I thought, wasn't so specific about the timing, and it seems like, you know, under the circumstances of this case where there had been other postponements, it's an awfully casual way to approach the dispositive hearing of your life.
I agree. I think it appears casual. I don't know if it was casual.
But isn't and the IJ entitled to say, you know, I just don't believe that you couldn't have taken greater steps to become informed about the hearing date? The wife knew. Everybody else knew. They all show up. And presumably he was living with the wife, or at least was on speaking terms with her at some point before the day before the hearing.
Oh, for sure. Sure, and I don't know the attorney in the in that motion. I don't know if he gave a time when he did notify him.
I don't think he did. I thought there was an adverse factual finding against Mr. Simkian about whether he received proper notice of that hearing.
I think the attorney said he notified him. I'm not sure when he said he notified him.
Isn't this also the attorney that said that's sort of how he is?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, in that case, we got the attorney versus his own client. So who's responsible here for him not showing up? That's one of the problems in the case. And under an incompetency or ineffective assistance of counsel issue, I think we're time barred by that because we have only so much time to raise.
You didn't file a petition for review, did you?
Of
the adjustment of status part. Yeah, I mean, we're basically too late on all of that anyway because you never filed. Or I don't mean you personally, but there was never a petition for review filed from the August 2002 decision.
Right. We filed the motion to reopen and a motion for reconsideration.
But no, you didn't try to come to this court, so we are not the ones to talk to about that decision.
I understand that in terms of being waiving issues, but we did file a motion for reconsideration, which did raise those issues.
Look, you can't ignore deadlines just by filing motions for reconsideration.
But the issues were raised before the court.
Well, you can't do that, right? You miss deadlines for appeal, then you go back to the agency, file a motion for reconsideration, motion to reopen, what have you.
And wait
10 years later, and then you come up as if you'd filed a petition for review 10 years ago.
We're trying to review the motions to reconsider and motion to reopen, which did raise all the issues that I'm referring to.
But the question then is simply whether they were obligated to reconsider.
But the motion to reopen anyway, I thought, simply focused on the denial of asylum, not the adjustment of status. So the adjustment of status part is not here.
I disagree that it's not here, but...
Well, I mean, under what theory of jurisdiction, maybe you should focus on the thing that is here, the denial of asylum.
All right. On the asylum case, we did file a motion to reopen on that one. We attached several reports indicating that there were significant changed circumstances in Romania that countered the original immigration judge's decision many, many years ago, and which was affirmed by the Board of Immigration Appeals in their decision, but really referred to the judge's decision and the timing of that, and didn't refer to the new reports of a change of the Socialist Democratic Party being elected to power, and according to Amnesty International and the country reports that there are significant police abuses, that religious minorities still have to register to acquire status as a religion in the country, that there are attacks upon minorities, and Pentecostals are included as one of the religions that are affected. There are a number of items in those reports which indicate that things haven't really changed since the fall of Ceausescu back in 1989, and also that his secretary, Ion Iliescu, is now the president.
Well, it's more like a sine curve. You know, they change, and then they unchange, and then they change again. I mean,
that's what's happened here, and that there was a democratic process throughout all this.
Right.
But that more of a...
What's the evidence that now that Ion Iliescu is in the presidency again, that the bad old ways still exist? The Securitate isn't out there whisking people up. I mean, the State Department reports don't seem to think that things are exactly as they were back in the Ceausescu era.
I don't think they're exactly as they were, but you have the head of government and the country reports of human rights, which I've attached to the motion originally in 2001, talks about police abuses, that the country is still in transition. Of course, Iliescu is back. And there are a number of other items in the annual report on religious freedom indicating that there are still abuses, that local authorities are still abusing...
But Iliescu was already in power before the BIA issued its August 2002 decision. He'd been back in power for a couple of years.
Correct. But the BIA decision didn't refer to that. They referred to the immigration judge's decision, which predates the rise of the Social Democratic Party and their re-election in 2000. And so they're denying our point about changed circumstances based upon information.
The immigration judge didn't even believe your client's story about persecution.
Well, he said as well, I understand, he said as well that the harm he saw, that there was no harm from these beatings. That was part of his conclusion.
Well, he didn't believe him. He thought all this stuff, his story could have gotten out of newspapers.
That's what he said.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that credibility determination?
Well, the point is still there, though, that circumstances have changed, and that I'm not sure that there was enough for the judge to make that determination of an absence of credibility.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Trace. Yes,
thank
you. Mr. Bornstein?
May it please the Court, I'm Josh Bronstein for the Attorney General. The Court is correct that Mr. Simpson's failure to petition this Court to review the Board's August 2002 order deprives him of review of most of the issues that he seeks to raise today. And so the only issue that's properly in front of the Court is whether the Board abused its discretion with respect to the very narrow issue in his motion for reconsideration, in his latest motion, which is whether his submission of documentary evidence on changed country conditions requires whether the Board erred in not finding that country conditions had changed. I think his case falls flat upon just a casual review of the documentary evidence that he submitted, because the petitioner has never at any time even alleged that conditions in Romania have worsened since the original IJ's decision. And in fact, I think that the evidence that he submits himself indicate that conditions in Romania have continued to improve. And this Court has held repeatedly that petitioners from Romania seeking asylum after the fall of Ceausescu have an uphill battle, particularly if they're simply relying on State Department reports. In Rome, the court said that, indeed, that the court had no reason to believe that conditions in Romania had worsened since the State Department issued the report at issue there, which was a 1993 report. The court has also found that Romania generally respects the rights of its citizens in this day and age, and all the petitioner has even pointed to in alleging that reconsideration was appropriate is low-level government actors, in some cases impeding the ability of some minority religions to proselytize, and he has not even alleged any activities with respect to one of the five grounds of asylum that are ongoing there that would even rise to the level of what this court has found to be persecution. That's it. If the court has no questions.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Trey, do you have anything further? No. Well, thank you very much to both of you.